Welcome to the Edinburgh Side Review, episode 26. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
Good evening. It's another lengthy gap.
Yeah, not quite as lengthy as the last one.
Yeah, so we'll talk more later. We'll go straight into your fridge. What's in the fridge, IT?
Oh, three different ciders this week.
Three different ciders this week.
Don't know what happened to my voice then. We have a La Ferme de Kerloyc. That's how I'm pronouncing it.
La Ferme de Kerloyc.
That'll do. I think you found that one. Where'd it come from?
My dad brought it back from France.
Cool. Nice French cider. Looking forward to that. I also have here an Old Fields Orchard Worcestershire cider, which I picked up in Shrewsbury last weekend.
Very good.
Or is it Shrewsbury? However you pronounce it.
Shrewsbury, I think.
And lastly, we have a tricky cider. This time, the medium dry.
So we've had medium sweet, we're now going to medium dry.
Where are we starting?
Right, well, we go dry to sweet. That's always the plan.
It is.
We always confirm that with ourselves.
Dry to sweet, dry
so
to sweet. Yeah.
The tricky medium dry is first up on that basis. In fact, this should be relatively easy to get in the right order because we know one's medium dry, one's medium sweet, and then the Breton one will be all over the place. So.
Cool.
And probably sweet. So anyway.
This looks... I was going to say it looks still, but it is lightly.
No, it's quite fizzy. So this is the tricky medium dry.
There was no fizz as you opened the bottle.
None at all.
But there is now.
Tricky, it's all in the apple, they say.
Ooh, I like the smell. I like that.
That's good.
That is good.
That's better than I was expecting.
Yeah, me too. I've had this bottle for probably over a year. I think it came from...
I think it's matured.
Maybe. No, it doesn't. They don't change in the bottle, do they? I got it from the Bristol Cider Shop in one of my original orders, and that's, I think it came with the medium sweet tricky, which I thought we thought was all right. What did we give the medium sweet?
Can't remember. Yeah. You haven't updated the league table in 6 months, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I am a bit behind on that.
That's. I'm sure that's going to be developing soon, though, listeners.
Yes, no, it will be. I need to get my act together and update the league table. But this cider, I like.
I like the aftertaste. It's got that kind of nice... that nice kind of fulfilling aftertaste. There's something a wee bit artificial at the start.
There is that wee bit of... kind of waxy taste, almost. But it's not too dry, which I like. I mean, being a medium dry, obviously.
Its dryness is more that kind of mouth feel they talk about, isn't it, at the end?
Yeah.
That kind of Dunkerton's thing, almost. The really gets to you, but it's quite a nice, kind of catchy, absorbing flavour and feeling you get. But it's kind of two sides to it. It's got that artificial lingering thing at the start and the middle as well.
Yeah, I'm just starting to get that at the start. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily artificial.
It's just not as authentic, though, is it?
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good things about that.
100% fresh juice.
Is it?
Yep.
100% fresh juice?
Yep.
Well, my apologies to Tricky.
Contains natural yeast and tannins.
Well, it's funny, though, because it's not as... It doesn't taste as authentic as 100% juice. Maybe it is, though. Maybe it's just...
No, it's that taste at the start, but which we're so rubbish, even after 2 years of tasting cider, we... can't really recognise what a particular taste is.
It's maybe a little bit sharp at the start.
Mm.
Maybe that's where it comes from. I'm not sure I like the start, but I really like the finish.
Yeah.
And overall, it's got different things going on. So on that basis, we're quite pleased with it.
I'm going to give it a 7.
I'll give it a 7 too. That's fair.
Ah, a nice agreement off the bat there.
Yeah. Maybe we've been slightly harsh in that. I think I'd like to hear other people's opinions on... the tricky medium cider.
Tricky medium dry.
Medium dry, sorry.
6%.
Will we carry on?
Yes. So, on to...
Worcester.
Worcestershire. Have we had a Worcestershire cider yet?
I think we might have, but I can't remember.
Worcestershire cider.
I'm sure there is one we've had. So this is called Old Fields Orchard.
So it's quite...
4.8%, and it's a very big 4.8. It's almost like they're really pleased with the fact they've created a...
Yeah, true.
Looks quite authentic, but it's not very strong for an authentic cider.
Yeah, true. But it is a medium sweet, remember. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was a bit of concentrate in there to bring that sweetness through.
Maybe. Relatively still, a hint of a sparkle.
So this came from Shrewsbury, a wee shop that... I can't actually remember the name of. That's very poor of me. Okay, what we got?
Ooh. I like that.
Hmm, that's quite tasty.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we're getting into that
I know.
Bias thing of it's that kind of medium sweet that you're
going. Well, maybe by going straight from a dry to this, and we're going like, mmm, yum. So let's give it a few more sips before we give it the full judgment.
Ah, it's quite apple juicy in a way, which makes me think maybe concentrate, but I'm not sure. I'm going to have a...
See, this is one that, yeah, I don't actually know much about because I haven't heard of Oldfield's Orchard before. Branding-wise, it does look almost on the slightly too commercial modern side. Now, I know we should never read too much into the branding.
See, it doesn't advertise itself as 100% apples.
Okay.
And you would think most ciders of this ilk, if they were 100% apples, they would say so. Or at least mention the fact they were real cider or
true,
pop cider, something
true.
Like that. This one doesn't, so maybe it's not 100% real.
No other clues?
Nothing. It says, our sparkling cider includes the best Dabinet, Harry Masters, Jersey and Yarlington Mill apples. So
okay, so a blend. Decent blend of...
of good cider apples.
Yeah.
Who knows? It just tastes a wee bit too sweet to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's medium sweet, don't forget, but I know what you mean. It does...
No, there's something very contrived at the start there.
There's something... It's a nice drink, but yeah, it is lacking that kind of traditional...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, actually.
I like it.
I like it, but I don't know if I'd have that many of them. Do you know what? If we were in a pub and there was that was on... Say that there was, they had this cider and they had Tricky, I could see myself going back to Tricky.
But then you have another sip of the Trippy. Trippy? I'm getting Trippy. The Tricky now.
Why?
It might change your thoughts since then you'd be going from a sweet to a dry.
Yeah, but that's a different question. What I'm saying
I know.
Tricky's got something more authentic that you can enjoy over a long period of time, I think, whereas this Oldfield's Orchard's a bit too sweet, maybe. But I do like it. I'm going to give it... See, I'm tempted to give it a higher mark than the Tricky, even though I would be more inclined to have more of the Tricky. Does that make any kind of sense?
No, it doesn't, actually.
Okay, on that basis, I'm going to give it 6.5.
6.5. I was thinking the 6.5 range, too.
The 6.5 range? Meaning 6 to 7?
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we give it 6.5.
No, I was thinking 6.5. I was just looking up. It's made by Hobson's Brewery. So it does seem like... I mean, they do a dry, a sweet, and then a discovery cider. So it does seem like it's a brewery which has then branched out to do some cider. Now, they have won some Cameron Awards, at least for their beer, I found out. So I'm going to reserve my judgment.
We'll find it.
It's a nice one.
So now we move to France. The Breton cider, Cidre Fermier Brut. Cidre Fermier just means French cider. Farmhouse cider, sorry.
Ah, yes.
And this is from a farm called Kerloik,
right,
on the north coast of Brittany.
Lovely.
So this should be good. Do you want to open it?
I shall open it since it's a champagne-style bottle. I remember the last one of these that just exploded even before I'd finished unscrewing the metal.
Yeah.
So I'm always wary since then of them exploding prematurely, so to speak. In fact, this one's quite tough. It's not actually going to explode prematurely.
It's not going to explode prematurely.
It needs a lot of effort.
IT is twisting as we speak.
I feel like I'm going to break this cork.
About to get lift off here.
I'm using my muscles here.
Taking its time.
There we go.
All success.
So what
have
we got here?
No spillage whatsoever.
Well, of course, because I'm a professional. Oh, not too much now. Looks like your typical...
Well, I
French cider in a way. Dark colour.
No,
nice and fizzy.
See, I was expecting something a bit cloudier than that for a Breton farmhouse cider.
Smells good.
Tastes good. It's good Breton cider.
Oh, I like that.
It's your classic good Breton cider.
See, bugger Canada, I might move to France.
Yeah, but I think you'd have to move to specific locations.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
I mean, it's good stuff, isn't
it? I do like French cider.
But I see, it's not all French cider. I think if you go back through all the French cider you've had, you like all the Breton cider and you're various.
Well, okay, well, you're right. I am lumping them into one group, French. I can't remember which is which. But I will tell you that in the last week, literally, I've had a bottle of the Bowl of Little Dwarves. a big bottle of, what was that Corrie thing? Where was that from?
Bolle de Corrigan.
Yeah, where was that from?
I think that was Norman.
Okay, and then I also had a big bottle, champagne bottle of the normal one, Longueville.
Longueville. Yeah. Longueville's definitely Norman.
And I did like them. I liked them both. I think I slightly prefer the Longueville.
Oh, right. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
So,
I mean, maybe it's not even a Breton thing. Maybe it's just the ones that my dad tends to bring back are the farmhouse Breton ones, as opposed to just like a Longueville's a big company. So it's maybe nothing to do with that. But maybe there's not much between.
I think this has more flavour than the Longueville, and definitely than the Bowl of Little Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Which I found that those ones are nice, but they're quite fizzy, and they're definitely not as flavoursome as this. This I like a lot. In fact, it's got a thing on it that says Medaille de Bronze Paris 2014.
Why do we persist in this stupid gag of you can't speak French?
It's not a gag. It's the truth.
It's won a bronze medal in an award at Paris, an agricultural award.
Oh, can you speak French?
Well, no, but I can. All the words are pretty much the same.
Oh, I see.
You've just made it sound anyway, complicated.
Either way, good sign. Bronze medal.
It's won a bronze medal. It's I'd give it the standard 8 for that kind of Breton cider. I mean, if you look at our league table, we've got a lot of French and Norman cider at the 8 mark.
Yeah, true. Because I was thinking 7.5, but would that be...
Oh, it's fine. 7.75. Then.
Okay, 7.75 it is. Well, actually, no, I'll give it 8.
All right, 8. Yeah, it is. It's probably one of the highest marks we've given for a while.
Because I could have loads of that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
You can have a lot. I've got 2 big bottles of it in the flat.
Well, of that one?
Just same kind of stuff. It's all the same, isn't it? Breton cider is all the same.
Well,
or the ones my dad brings back.
I'd like to compare them. I'd like to literally go from one to the other and
try them side by side. We'll do that next time you're at my flat.
Okay, sounds a plan. I shall look forward to it.
Okay, so that concludes the... So did we do that quicker than usual?
We did seem to zip through them.
But it was a good batch.
But, yeah, not a very good batch.
Yeah, good marks we gave. And I like the differences as well, and successful.
Yeah.
So we press on, we'll go to Cider News.
I'd recommend them all. Cider News! Okay.
7 weeks worth of news, I hope.
Well, yeah, quite a few things, actually. I want to start off with a point. I don't think I mentioned this in the show last time, but I did mention it outside the show. Remember when I was talking about, was it Celtic that went to play football in Poland or something? And they weren't allowed to have the Magners sponsor on their shirts. They had to change it to like Tennent's or something.
Yep.
Because apparently in Poland you could only advertise beer.
Yep.
Well, now, thanks to Vladimir Putin, the Polish people are being told to get more into cider.
Why thanks to Vladimir Putin?
Well, because he's banned all...
He's Russian.
Yeah, but he's banned all imports, hasn't he, of stuff from Europe. So there was thousands of tons worth of apples that would normally be bought by Russia from Poland. And now Poland have got all these excess apples. Mm. So the
what to do with all those excess apples?
They are literally saying, right, Polish people need to get into cider more.
Ah, so they've banned. So they've unbanned.
So there are not quite. They haven't. I mean, it wasn't really a cider ban. I think it was more like an alcohol ban. But there was some loophole that you could get through with beer.
Right.
But they are actually talking about trying to
just revisiting get rid of that. The whole legislation.
But it's all about they don't want to advertise alcohol and have all the Polish people getting drunk.
Well, there's one for our Polish listener.
So yeah,
get in touch. Tell us your views
and. Make some cider with all those excess apples.
How big are we in Poland? I haven't checked the stats.
I haven't actually checked the stats.
Too detailed lately. I noticed we had a lot of hits from the Ukraine. I'm not sure if they were viruses or whatnot.
They're probably just random scammers.
Random scammers.
Looking on the website.
From the Ukraine. So random scammers from the Ukraine and Poland, get in touch.
Do.
Anyway, carry on.
Moving on. Not really news, but worthy either way. Dunkertons is on Twitter.
Oh, is it?
Yes, officially.
So that spam account that we've been following...
It's a fan
account.
But no, Dunkertons is finally, officially on Twitter at Dunkertons.
And are we following them now?
We are following them, and I think we should tweet them later.
Are they following us?
Not yet, because...
despite all the love we've given them.
We haven't tweeted them yet. We shall let them know that their Premier Organic is at the top of our league table. Is it at the top or near the top? Well, joint top.
Yeah, your league table that's 6 months out of date and yeah, with controversy.
True. Anyway, Dunkerton's is up there.
Dripping from the foot of it.
So we need to get in touch with them. Moving on. In fact, going back over to the continent, Morgan Rot. That's how you pronounce it. I don't know. Anyway, they're bringing in...
Who are Morgan Rot?
They're a drinks exporter. I don't know, one of them. Spanish cider. Avalon Sidra is going to be available in the UK.
Right.
Now, we've come across a couple of Spanish ciders in the past. There's that... What was the one we had on the show? I can't remember now.
Galtier, something like that.
Something like that. And then there was also a couple that we will get to later in the show, but we found them in a pub in Edinburgh.
Well, it's like they're not all kind of northern Spain, Basque area. It's very big inside of it.
The Azores. So the Azores?
Asturias.
Asturias. Asturias. Yes, that's it, Asturias.
Yeah.
I was trying to work out what that was. Okay, it's made in Asturias. Apparently it's going to have clean aromas with hints of balsam. That's that stuff you get in tissues, isn't it?
What, bam? How'd you spell it?
Yeah, bam, that's what I said.
Yeah, right, bam.
That's what I said.
Did you say balsam?
Well, it's got an S in it.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm terrible. So, Spanish cider. Now, I've, to be honest, never been a fan of any of the Spanish ciders I've had so far. So, I'll be up for trying it. Avalon Sidra is what you're looking out for. So, we'll track it down. But, moving on, back over this side of the European thing.
This side of the European thing. Our geographical correspondent,
I'm
Mr. IT.
I'm on fire tonight, I know. Great British Pub Awards 2014.
Okay.
Sponsored by Morning Advertiser, because I think that's where I got this news from. Best cider pub / bar in the various regions. Unfortunately, nor in Scotland won any awards.
Right.
But just to fly through the four regions for our followers down in England, in case one's near you, the Northwest winner was George and the Dragon in Dent, Cumbria. Now, I'm sure George and the Dragon, we've mentioned them before, because they've won before.
I mean, it's fascinating that we're talking about these best pubs in regions of England that we'll unlikely to ever visit.
Well, my parents are moving to Cumbria, so I'm hoping to track this one down.
Oh, well, fair enough. this is a purely selfish feature.
No, it's for all our listeners across England. We don't just have listeners in Edinburgh.
Oh, no, you're right. Apologies.
Southeastern London is the Rockstone in Southampton. West Midlands and Wales is the Penryn Arms in... Let's not try and pronounce Welsh names, actually. And in the southwest is, surprisingly, the Apple in Bristol. Which was one of was on my list when I tried to make a trip to Bristol, but failed.
Is that the one that's on a boat?
I think it might be actually that one. Yeah,
I've heard about.
Yeah,
that.
It is. We need to get to Bristol.
We were going to do that last summer or something, weren't we?
Yeah.
Let alone this summer.
Yeah, someone's kind of running out.
Yeah.
So if you're near any of them, now you know where to go for cider. But moving on swiftly. Okay, Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den, Duncan Bannatyne, Peter Jones, those people.
Aye, those people. Now, I didn't see it this weekend.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to talk about.
I didn't see it this weekend, but I came across this today. I need to look him up. But apparently, I think it was a week ago or so, there was a couple of guys on there with this...
make your own cider
idea
thing.
To make your own cider.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, you actually saw the programme?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So you can tell me about it then.
No, it was just a kind of... I didn't think it really worked either. Well, and bear in mind, Deborah Meaden is from Somerset, so she has at least a sense of knowing what she's talking about in this field. But the whole idea was you were given a kit in a box that had everything you needed to make your own cider, which I thought kind of defeated the purpose, because it's all going to be generically the same anyway, isn't it? If you're given the right amount of yeast, the right amount of apples, the right amount of everything else, then all you're going to get is generic cider that you could have bought. The theory is that it's a good party piece, and it's you get the fun of making it. But
yeah, but see, what I'm trying to get to the bottom. I don't really understand how it works. I've looked it up on the website, because I'm always dubious about these make your own brewing, like these commercial little kits like this. Because quite often you'll see the ones in like Lakeland and that for cider, and it'll quite clearly say they've got a little packet of concentrate in, and you just add that to some water, and effectively you've got cider. So that's what I presume this would be about. But looking into it, it says all it is, it's a box that you add 18 pints of warm water to, plus the little packet of yeast that comes with it, And 10 days later, you have 4.5% cider.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right to me. Now, I'm no expert on making cider.
No, but it just doesn't seem right at all. I mean, unless it's already got... No, it must be either concentrate or it must be some kind of... they've taken like the pressed apples and then maybe already kind of half made the cider or something like that.
It is weird.
Either way, it's going to be it's going to be contrived.
All
isn't
I could tell on the website, it says inside the box are our special cider apples. So you add warm water, yeast, and...
That are already halfway into cider.
Well, maybe that's it. But then they seem to be in quite a commercial box. So can they? I suppose they can last like that. But then how would you control what
stage
they're
at? Probably just letting the age of it, like, just to kind of mature a wee bit longer. That's what all you're doing. But but then, no, because you're adding the yeast. Mm. Maybe it's just a con and the yeast is like a fractional amount.
Yeah, true.
It's actually already
cider. Anyone who's a bit more expert of making cider, let us know whether this is...
Well, should we get one?
Well, actually, no, that's what I was going to say. Yeah,
How much are they?
We should get one. 25 quid.
It's kind of worth it, isn't it?
So, yeah, let's get one. Let's get one and give it a go. But anyone who's got any... Or more an expert at making cider, let us know what exactly is going on here. Because it's obviously not that easy to just make cider in 10 days.
Yeah.
4.5%.
I'm sure Cider Mike will be all over that one.
Yeah.
Abusing them no end.
Old Cider Mike. There was a thing on Twitter. He put up a screenshot of him about to close down his Twitter account.
Ah.
A few days ago. But since then, there's been a few just posts about events, and that's it. So I don't know if he's given up or what.
What, given up being a knob end?
No, I don't. Well, he's got his opinions on his... on his real cider, isn't he? But let's not get into that. Moving on. Anyway, talking about cider snobs.
Talking about cider snobs.
That's quite a good link, actually.
Yep.
The National Association of Cider Makers, NACM.
NACM.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce their acronym, but anyway. Have said that the British are becoming a country of cider snobs.
Are we?
Which is good news. Because apparently Brits are increasingly seeking out more expensive craft ciders over the cheaper stuff.
Well, this is good news. And but it's no shock to hear that news, is it?
Well, I mean, all the stuff about the booming cider market is generally being lumped in with all that fruity stuff.
Yeah,
so it is refreshing, pardon the word, to actually have some statistics saying that people are looking for
the richer the soil... cider. The more all flowers can bloom, IT.
Richer the soil. Yeah. So.
You know what I mean?
No.
If the market grows, everybody grows in the market.
Yeah, true. But it specifically said that it's. The trend is. There's an increasing trend, not for people drinking greater volumes of cider, necessarily, but the fact they're drinking.
People are swinging more to craft cider.
More expensive cider.
Well, I think it's probably just the kind of same trend that's happening in beer. It's probably more it goes back to your man from Thistle Cross and his craft agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
The craft agenda is such, he used to say. He did say in our episode 10. And it's just the whole movement. It's this whole. I mean, some people don't like the idea of the craft agenda. They think it's just this wanky phrase that people come out with. But I'm sure it is true. People are. Well, for good reason or bad, people like the idea of trying boutique beers and ciders from different places that they've not heard before.
Aye, and yeah. Well, it's good news either way.
Yeah, very good. Is that your cider news?
No, one more article. Aspel.
Aspel, then.
Aspel, after 100 years,
yeah,
they are redesigning their bottle.
Right.
Can you think why?
Because people think it's a liqueur.
Hmm. Maybe that's a small aspect of it.
Because it could be used for other purposes.
You're slowly getting there, but not quite that. No, not really.
People going to the accident emergency ward with bottles of Aspel inside them?
What's different? what's different about the Aspel bottles?
It's long, thin.
Mm. What's that first word you used?
Long.
What's the downsides of that?
What?
Downsides.
Downsides of long.
Yeah.
You'd break it, spill.
Doesn't fit in fridges.
Doesn't fit in fridges.
So what Aspel's found is because they've got these nice bottles with a like long neck that are quite tall, they're not fitting in a lot of pub fridges, and so the pubs are lying them down, which means that they're not getting the visibility when people are looking in seeing what drinks they've got.
Ah, I see what you mean.
which is quite interesting. So they've redesigned them, or they've had their bottle designer redesign them to make them shorter, and they just look a bit like stumpy brown bottles. And I kind of like that long neckiness of
it. Almost made you want to try an Aspel, even though you don't really particularly
like it. Yeah, because the bottles felt really heavy as well. Something about that. So it'll be interesting to see their new bottles. Also, just while we're on this topic of Aspel, they're launching a new brand, Aspelar, called Wattle Goose Lane of Cider.
Is this going to be less fizzy and slightly realer?
Well, yes.
Oh, right, good.
four different bag-in-box ciders, which is different, which is unusual for Aspel.
Yeah.
That are apparently all going to be named after Suffolk birds. Spadger, King Harry, Hey Jack, and Wood Sprite. So ranging from 4.5% to 7.4%.
Okay.
So it's, I mean...
See, it's funny with Aspel, though, because the... Do you remember we were talking about that? They were trying to get the European geographical index for cider in England.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to actually broaden it out so Aspels were included, even though it's different kinds of apple, and it's not strictly real by all the definitions of real.
Mm.
So, I mean, it doesn't taste that real, does it? I don't really particularly like it anymore. I would never choose it
anywhere. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I think, well...
But yet, there is the real aficionados have sympathy for them as well, for what they're trying to do.
Because I remember reading that the only reason that Aspel's wasn't officially real was that it was pasteurised. Oh, no, it was too heavily carbonated. I think that's what it was. But maybe both of them.
They use different apples to... I think they use normal eating apples rather than cider apples.
Yeah, you
as
might
well.
Be right there. That does ring a bell.
There's nothing wrong with that per se. Mm. Even your man Cider Mike might not even have an issue with that.
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah, so they were trying to include them with it.
So, I mean, to be honest, bag-in-boxes, especially in Edinburgh, you rarely see them these days unless it's a cider festival or the Jolly Judge. But one can only hope that someone like Aspel, who are kind of quite big in a lot of the pubs with their bottles... by coming out with bag-in-box ciders might help bridge the gap for these pubs that have the Aspels in bottles and give the bag-in-boxes a try. And then you've got quite a nice leap from the bottles to some decent...
A good point. A good cider. Point, IT. Probably the best point you've made in the podcast.
Don't have to take that.
Take it in every single way it can be taken.
It's a it's more of a hope than an
expectation. No, but you might be right. I think you are right. I think the more cider festivals that we'll probably come on to in a second that you see around pubs, the more bags and boxes that you see in any capacity just encourages. It's like the whole soil being fertilised and every flower getting some growth out of it.
True. You brought that up again.
It's a stupid analogy, isn't it? I don't know why.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's the news for this week, month, year. Who knows what's going on?
7 weeks. not a bad effort, but you've had 7 weeks worth of material to prepare. We'll press on. We're going to, at this juncture, we usually talk about our pub reviews, but I think our pub reviews are going to be mainly based around the fact that we've been to several cider festivals in pubs in Edinburgh, and the Scottish Real Ale and the Cider Festival, the proper one, which was in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you want to start?
Well, should we start with the Scottish Real Ale and Cider Festival?
Yes. I mean, it was called that. It's just called the Scottish Real Ale Festival, isn't it? But
but it's got 16... it had almost 20 real ciders as well.
Exactly. The thing is,
we talked about this in a kind of preparatory way in the last podcast.
Yes.
So I think we'll just go straight to reviewing it, what cider we had, in terms of the Scottish Real Ale Festival. I've taken notes of what I...
Right, okay. So you're going to go through the ciders you had and what you thought of them.
Yeah, and you'll probably remember some of them, if not all of them.
Okay, cool.
I mean, we were quite inebriated by...
Well,
the end
we weren't that. We weren't that bad.
Yeah, but I mean, we'd had... I've got here...
I mean, I had 3 hog roasts, so that kind of helped things.
We had 11.
I mean, you were the one that started on the strongest, like 8.3% or something, weren't you?
Yeah, which was the Sherston's first press very dry. Yeah. Whenever there's a very dry cider, you know you're going to struggle a wee bit, I think.
You'd start with dry first, though, obviously. Right order.
That was my thinking. Anyway, the very dry one was... I didn't give them marks. I've just graded them in order.
Okay.
So I'll give you the worst one, although it wasn't that bad.
Give us your highlights. The highs and the lows.
Highlights were Leg Bender Medium Sweet was the number one.
Yes, I remember that one. That one was quite good.
it was quite, it was kind of more your sweet cider. It was almost had a hint of the J.K. Scrumpy about it. Or was that Janet's Jungle Juice?
Oh, Janet's Jungle Juice was jungly.
That was second, yeah. The one I put third was the Walk Mills. The one that was called Wallace from Walk Mills.
Okay.
I think I had a new appreciation for Walk Mills more than I had previously when I just tried a few of them. Because there's a certain purity about Walk Mills cider that I really started to enjoy. And that was possibly the biggest thing for me when I was there. That kind of... Because we talk a lot about maybe that kind of real tannin, kind of subtle flavour that you get in some still ciders where they're not packing a sweet flavour or a too dry flavour. It's just a very subtle tannin flavour maybe. And there was something about the Walk Mills version of that, and particularly this one they called Wallace. It made me kind of look at that kind of cider in a different way. So that was the biggest surprise. That was my top three. And they're okay. very, very different ciders. So that's what I remember.
What was your worst?
Well, the worst wasn't a bad cider.
Well, yeah, exactly. What did you not like?
Well, it's the one I've just mentioned, the Sherston's very dry.
Oh, your very dry one, okay, yeah.
And it's not a bad cider.
Aye.
It's just very dry. I mean, there was other ones there. There was a Green Valley whiskey cask, which I wasn't a massive fan of.
Mm.
There was a Cairn O'More, which wasn't bad.
The Cairn O'More, I think, was actually my... I don't know what this says about my cider taste, but the Cairn O'More, I think, was actually my favourite at the festival.
Was it?
I'd had it. It was probably one of the ones I had before, and actually I finished up the last of it at the festival. But yeah, it is my kind of cider, that Cairn O'More, the vintage one. Nice and tart, still. Well, obviously they're all still. That came out on top for me.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few other good ones. Steel Bonnet Purer. Don't really remember it. I graded it fourth for some reason. I mean, we were only there 5 hours, but we had a lot of cider and a lot of hog roast.
Was it like 13 ciders we went through?
Something like that. Mm. Butford Organic, Incandescent, Mooseed Perry. Anyway, the list goes on.
Yeah, it's a good festival.
It was really good.
And 20, I mean, I've never been, I can honestly have to say I've never been in a place which has had 20 ciders before. So.
Yeah, I mean, didn't even touch in the beer.
It was quite fun.
Like, I really wanted to have some beer, but I kind of felt obliged to have every single cider. So I actually went to a real ale festival and had no beer.
Well, we'll need to go through all 3 days next time. Have a cider day, a beer day, and a whatever you found the best day.
Yeah, a day where you just try and enjoy yourself.
And a food day.
A food day, yeah. Well, you could quite easily do that. Anyway, we also, in the same week, pretty much, in fact, within the space of 5 days, we went to another 4 cider festivals, didn't we?
I don't think it was that many.
But all the Edinburgh pubs decided not to coordinate things, and they all had cider festivals on within a few days together.
There was a couple. So what Spoons was on. Spoons had its cider festival over on 2 or 3 weeks.
They did. We sat outside and we drank rhubarb or...
Beetroot.
Beetroot flavoured cider.
Rhubarb cider, that would be interesting. But no, the beetroot cider that Spoons had, it just tastes like beetroot juice. It was interesting. It wasn't cider. But Spoons disappointed me a bit because they have their massive menu, but Alexander Graham Bell, George Street, I think they had 4 of them. And yeah. they were only ever going to have a maximum of 4 on at a time.
It's one of those things that pubs advertise cider festivals and then they're only going to have 1 or 2 of them on. So it's not really a cider festival.
I mean,
just a different kind of cider as long as you go every single day that week.
I think it's sort of the problem with Wetherspoons, but sort of a good thing about Wetherspoons, because I reckon down south, where cider is more popular, they would have had pretty much all of those ciders on the menu available.
Potentially.
Because I've seen, I mean, like Cider Mike, for example, I'm sure he was going through the whole menu pretty much in a Wetherspoons. I mean, we did wander along to Standing Order and try another 4 different ones.
Yeah, for people outside Edinburgh, there are 2 Wetherspoons on George Street, so we deduced that the ones that were not on in the nicer Wetherspoons, Alexander Graham Bell, may well be on in the Standing Order, which is the clartier of the 2 Wetherspoons, would you say?
So, yeah, it's not too bad. So I think we've tried 7 or 8. But Spoons Cider Festival, get more boxes. I think they were trying to get them in the fridge, and so they're worried about fridge space and having to like get rid of all the other bottles, which were probably more popular, to be honest. But that's the thing with cider, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the fridge, especially real still cider. It
doesn't need to, you're right.
Because I'm sure Spoons before have had loads of boxes on the sides. In fact, when we were in Durham, at Spoons' last cider festival, they did have loads of boxes out. Some were in the fridge, some weren't.
That was many a year ago, IT.
That was 2 or 3 years ago. So maybe it's just Spoons in Edinburgh that don't understand cider and just think they need to go in the fridge and so there's not enough room. Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, we're dilly-dallying. So Wetherspoons,
We also went to Cloisters for the cider festival.
Yeah, Cloisters had...
And again, same problem occurred. We went the very first night, I think, and we went straight from... Well, I went straight from work, and you joined me late because your bus took a detour.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there for half an hour, and they only had like two ciders on. I can't remember which
one. Well, I think they had four, but then there was a couple that we'd had before that was like Black Rat or something.
But
they did have what did we try it was nice whatever we had. I can't remember what it was. They had a decent menu. Cloisters
did you not take notes of this?
Well, I'm not going to go through every single cider that was on the menu. They did have a decent menu, and when we went in there and had one cider, it's not really worth the chat.
But
they had a decent menu, and it was Cloisters themselves, that pub, that went out of their way to put together this menu. It's not like Wetherspoons that were just forced upon that menu and the brand. So they went out of their way to get this decent sized menu, and it's good. Now, if I was nearer, we just had a message.
Hot off the press.
Yeah.
Dunkertons are following at Cider View. That's us, Edinburgh Cider View, at Cider View on Twitter.
Good news.
Yeah, that was quick. Anyway, and they got the way. I think it's more. I mean, they don't have a big bar there, so they don't really even have room. It's not like Alexander Graham Bell has masses of bar space.
Yeah, I mean, we seem to be honest. Whenever we go to Cloisters, we seem to go at the wrong time.
Yeah, and
we went just too early. I think it's the cider festival,
it's a shame. It's the other side of town to us as well. If we were that side of town, we would have gone to that cider festival more often, tried more of the ciders. It's just a fact.
Go for one or two. Just after work, maybe something like that every day. It'd be quite nice, actually, if there was a pub that did that. You could just go for one or two ciders. Like, if the Jolly Judge or Cloisters was closer to us, we could quite easily do that.
Yep.
But we have to sort of venture into town. It's a bit
tricky. We need to get onto the Orchard.
The Orchard?
In Blythe Row.
Like that's
which only struck me the other day. It's called The Orchard. So
yeah, they should do cider.
They should do decent cider,
and it's kind of equidistant between us as well.
I haven't been in it in a few years. It's that strange location that you.
Yeah, I think I was in it. I was in it a few weeks ago. Didn't have any cider of consequence.
Right. Oh well, but it's called the Orchard. It should have.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, those were the main cider festivals.
But then, after Cloisters, we then wandered down the street. And we realised that pub that you'd been telling me about all night, which is called the
Red Squirrel.
The Red Squirrel. We went in there and we thought, right, we'll just get one cider in there because you'd found both the little dwarves there.
I found that it had Cornish Orchards.
You'd found it had Cornish Orchards. Yeah. And it turned out they were doing a cider festival as well.
Yeah, sort of.
So we thought it'd be rude not to.
I just remember looking in the fridge and being amazed.
Yeah, I was wanting a quiet night and ended up doing two cider festivals.
They had Olive Orchard Pig... they had a couple of Spanish ones, which again I wasn't fan of. El Gaito and another one, which I didn't like.
There's another one which was just a bit of a fake one. But the two varieties of El Gaito, which I thought were okay. I think it'd been a touch harsh on them. And I think we need to maybe explore that region of Spain and the cider making community there, because same with what we need to do in Germany. I think like the ice wine and that kind of community in Germany makes different varieties of cider. We need to learn more about this. So let's not just be disparaging about it.
I know. I mean, the Spanish styles I've had have basically tasted artificial-ish. But the one that was my favourite was the Bully de Amoratique Brut.
Which was a Bully de Corrigan variety, wasn't it?
I just remember sitting there. It comes in little bottles. I've had it once before from the off-licence at the top of Queensferry Street.
It's the same company, both the little dwarves, Bully de Corrigan, I'm pretty sure.
We were going to look into that.
Same symbol.
Yeah, Bully, is it?
Maybe
it is then. 99%. Well, I prefer that to both dwarves, definitely, that little one. That was really good. Pleasant surprise by the Red Squirrel there.
But we did, in all, we had a very good week where I was absolutely knackered by the end of that week. Like, because we did a lot of cider festival, and the Jolly Judge cider festival was not long before that.
We talked about that in the previous podcast.
I don't want to. I'm not going to dwell on it again, but just a lot of cider festivals in a short space of time.
Cider festival time.
There was anything else around pubs in Edinburgh that was going on?
Not really, unless we want to talk about the Blind Poet briefly. We mentioned it in the show in the past.
Right. It's a Blind Poet's a pub that we like. We talked about it, we reviewed it, and we reviewed it well.
And Duncan was really enthusiastic about some decent cider, about learning more about cider.
And then they charged £5.50 for...
A Wildwood.
Now, Wildwood is not a bad cider. It's not a fantastic cider. It's not uncommon. And when I said £5.50 in a questioning tone, the barmaid said, Yeah, but it's 7%.
6.5 is not
me. Yeah, but it's 6.5%. As if that somehow justified the £5.50 price. Now, so, I know that there's the minimum pricing's coming in and all the rest of it, but it's nothing to do with pubs. Pubs do not have any minimum pricing per unit of alcohol. And if they do, they charge way over that anyway for your normal base price. 6.5% is not a strong cider. There's nothing to justify.
In fact, I think it's even 6. It's not even that.
It's 6%.
Yeah,
that was right. You said, oh, yeah, it's 6%. Yeah. Like, there's no reason to justify £5.50 for a Wildwood. So much as we like that pub, we're very, very disappointed by
the I think they must have the wires twisted somewhere. Either that or their supplier is charging them an arm and a leg.
Or the barmaid didn't know what she was talking
about. Yeah, maybe that was it. But they had gone out of their way to get in quite a range of pretty much every single Western cider.
They did, yeah. They,
in bottles that you could imagine. So they had all the medium sweet, sweet, blue, red, green, dry, all that kind of stuff, plus the Wildwood and the Old Rosie. So we can commend them on that, but I think they just need to look at their pricing a wee bit. I mean, we'd be happy to pay that if it was a proper real cider
that we'd never had before.
Not even that. It's the fact that Weston's is a commercial, very common cider.
I don't know about £5.50. I'm not going to pay £5.50 unless it's something special.
Well, I mean, when you compare it to the Jolly Judge,
if I'm getting a 750 milliliter bottle of French cider. Yes.
Yeah, true.
Right?
True.
I'd quite happily pay £5.50. I'm not going to pay £5.50, although we did, for a bottle of Wildwood again.
Yeah, it's true. Because like the Jolly Judge, which sells over 7% cider for £4, it works out as a pint.
Exactly.
I mean, so it's a wee bit silly. So
it is. Anyway, we're getting carried away with ourselves.
Aye, so that's, rant over.
That's all our news on pubs and festivals in Edinburgh. Apart from, well, The Edinburgh International and the Fringe festivals have just finished. That's nothing to do with cider, but it's what's happened in Edinburgh.
Yeah, true.
We both had good fringes, did we?
We did.
We went to see Frank Skinner together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, well, that was at the start of the festival.
It was quite good.
He was all right. Cider was a bit poor, only Bilmers.
Yeah. But have you seen any interesting shows since?
None worth talking about on the show, to be honest.
I saw the Scottish International falsetto sock puppets.
Ah, did they have good cider?
They didn't have good cider, but it was a good show. Okay. Anyway, that's enough about the festivals. We usually talk about correspondence at this juncture.
Yeah, so, well, the main item of correspondence I want to talk about this week, I had an email from Gary Caldwell.
Gary Caldwell, no relation.
No relation, apparently.
Friend of the show, he likes to call himself.
Friend of the show, first time emailer, I think he said.
Yeah, long time listener, so first time emailer.
He obviously doesn't like our jingle at the start and end of the show, because
I quite like our jingle.
He went and got someone to make a new one for us.
We have a new jingle. So we thought we'd let the listeners hear Gary's suggested jingle for us. We'll play the jingle.
So here is Gary Caldwell's jingle that he got created for. So, yeah.
I like it.
I like it too.
And it's better than our jingle. The thing is, our jingle's a bit kind of comically and funny and all the rest of it. It's a bit silly, but so is our podcast.
Yeah, true.
That's kind of a more professional jingle. So I tell you what we'll do. Will we play out with that jingle, or should we just play it with a normal jingle?
We'll play out with that jingle so the listeners can hear it again.
And then we'll listen to whatever the listeners decide.
Yes, listeners, new jingle or old jingle?
New jingle or old jingle?
Because, I mean,
hashtag new jingle or hashtag old jingle.
Yeah, that's quite good, actually. Yeah. Let's do that. As long as you mention us as well. Because
tweet at CiderView, hashtag old jingle, hashtag new jingle.
Because I was a wee bit disappointed, because when I saw his email, I thought it was going to be some cool jingle saying, welcome to the Edinburgh Cider Review and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's just a better, slightly but better tune than ours.
Very slightly better tune than ours. And So, let us
know. But thanks, Gary. appreciate you thinking about us and spending a fiver on us. And I think that's just about us.
That is just about us, yes. We are
packed a lot into that 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, quite a lot. A lot going on. But as usual, do get in touch with us if you've got any ciders to recommend, if you want to send us any ciders. Let us know if you're tracking down that Spanish cider. Let us know if you can tell us what that Victor's drink box thing is all about and actually how it works.
Yes, tweet us all that if you can at CiderView. Email us at theorchard@CiderView. And or you can write to us.
No, don't write to
Nobody
us.
Nobody writes to us anymore, don't so don't worry. Or you can leave us reviews on iTunes. We haven't had one of those for over a year.
It's unusual. I wonder if iTunes have like got a cap until something happens. I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps.
We're not really fussed about reviews on iTunes.
No, I am. I'd like a review on iTunes.
Would you like another review? As long as it's 5 stars, obviously.
Bump up the stats and all the rest of it.
I mean, so. if you want to review it less than 5 stars, don't bother.
Anyway, we're scrambling now, so we'll bid you farewell. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.